This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Frozen Summer Fun in Disney Hollywood Studios.
Oh, no, I totally read about the wrong thing. Because I typed Frozen and DHS into Google, and I'm totally ready for talking about Mt. Gox and how horrible Homeland Security was for... Wait, no.
Brad, this isn't a Bitcoin podcast.
Okay.
This is a Disney podcast.
Okay. Well, we can talk that Frozen too. If you'd rather talk Disney's Frozen, then we can talk Disney's Frozen.
Okay.
So what is summer fun for those people who are listening? And like me, when this was originally brought up to me, I went, I haven't even heard about this.
Basically, Frozen Summer Fun is Disney's It's Disney's answer to Diagon Alley over in Universal Studios. It is just a whole bunch of Frozen-themed events going on at Disney Hollywood Studios during the summer through September 1st.
So first of all, I know we like to pretend like no other parks exist in Orlando or in Anaheim, in the surrounding areas. But let's both be honest, Frozen Summer Fun, based on what I've seen of Diagon Alley, cannot compare to Diagon Alley. That is, wow. That's an extremely impressive addition to that park.
Yeah, it is. They really knocked it out of the park.
And, while Anna and Elsa have hit the 4 or 4.5 hour wait times, they still haven't quite gotten to that 7.5 hour wait time that, Escape to Gringotts over there, has reached. Yeah. Which I cannot fathom spending 7.5 hours in a park. And you know what? I know we're totally getting off the Frozen thing, but I'm sorry. That's just been blowing my mind as I've seen tweets this week of people posting these wait times, 457, just insane wait times to wait on an attraction.
That's your whole day.
Yes. You're going to get there in the morning. You're going to stand in line. And that's it. That's what you get to do today. You're going to ride one attraction and you paid... I don't know what that, I would imagine they're in the same realm as what Disney's charging. So
they do, yeah,
Disney's $100 for one day, one park. So you're paying $100 for a single attraction.
And it's like, get in line at 9, ride the attraction at 4.
Yeah. And bring a lunch if you're going to go wait in line for,
Gosh, it was nuts, man. That cannot be sustainable. At some point it just opened, and I would have said the same thing about Anna and Elsa, but they're still, Anna and Elsa still push 3 hours.
Yeah. That continues to blow my mind. And I think I wonder if Summer Fun was originally envisioned, way back before any of the Anna and Elsa and Frozen stuff started entering the park, or if Disney just went, holy cow, people are eating this stuff up. We've got to add something else. And basically they made a Star Wars Weekends sort of event, just completely surrounded by Frozen.
I think that's it. Just like the Frozen pre-parade at Disneyland is kind of a way for them to get Frozen in another area in Disneyland. I feel like this is a Disney seeing a clear need for more Frozen stuff, because, Anna and Elsa still pull 3 hour lines, to spend 5 minutes with them.
Yeah. And I think this is smart on their part, in that they've recognized there is something that is drawing crowds right now, and they are trying to pounce on it, without waiting until they can, Now, let me preface this by saying I don't want them to not do an attraction based on Frozen, but I like that they didn't go, okay, well, we need to start doing an attraction, and then, 3 years later, an attraction comes out well after the wave it's not quite to the level that it'll be. I really think Frozen is going to be a Disney classic, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a dark ride, or I'd love to see a dark ride, but... to see some sort of dedicated attraction for this wouldn't surprise me at all. But like I said, I like the fact that they came up with something and said, "Hey, let's get into this." and give people something, even though, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on Summer Fun as to how much it really adds to your experience.
Yeah. And I even feel like a Frozen attraction would be better served in 5 or 10 years from now, when Frozen has actually cemented itself as a classic. I feel like this Summer Fun thing is really just Disney capitalizing on the intense Frozen popularity right now. And then, you know, waiting, maybe not 10 years, but maybe waiting, 4 or 5 years for it to actually become a classic, instead of, just being like, this movie is going to be a classic, and then it's not. Because, can you imagine if they'd made a Chicken Little, dark ride?
Yeah, and then they'd be wondering, why doesn't anybody visit our Chicken Little dark ride? I think that you're definitely right about that. And you just add in the time that it takes to fully design an attraction, to come up with the theme of the attraction, then to build said attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of time involved there, and a lot of money involved there. So you have to make sure that you've got a big hit. I would say that Princess and the Frog seemed to have a pretty nice, it was getting a pretty nice following immediately following release,
right,
in the parks, and I don't really see that anymore. Which is sad, because I think that's a good movie. It's a scary movie, but it's a good movie. But I don't know that it has the status necessary to create an attraction around it.
Right. And Tangled too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's another good one, even though there is Rapunzel's Tower over there in Magic Kingdom, but it's not an attraction or anything.
Right.
It's just, hey, here's a tower.
I mean, they have Tarzan's, Jungle Clubhouse or whatever too.
Yeah, that was called We Need to Retheme Swiss Family Robinson, because no one has heard of Swiss Family Robinson anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think it's good to hedge, at least for now, and just make sure that Frozen's going to be a hit, because I really feel like in the YouTube generation, where, you have like the internet just exploded with covers of Let It Go and a whole bunch of, and it really seems, I think it may seem like it's a little more popular than it actually is, because mm-hmm. of how much the internet has blown up. And I think it's smart for Imagineering to hedge their bets and say, okay, let's do the summer thing, and we'll do basically, let's do Star Wars weekends for 3 months.
Yeah.
Let's see how it works, or 2 months, I guess, but let's see how it goes. Let's see if, it's very, very popular beginning of July. Let's see if at the end of August, we're still getting hundreds and hundreds of people coming, to see it. And I feel like that is a really good litmus test for if this is actually something that could be an attraction.
Yeah, I think you're totally right about that. But I do believe that we should clarify that as much as this is like Star Wars Weekends, it's missing one huge thing that Star Wars Weekends has, and that is any character meet and greets. There is no meet and greet with Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, any of the characters at Disney's Hollywood Studios. If you want to meet and greet with the characters, you do still have to go to Magic Kingdom. Are they? And I think they're still doing the one in Epcot. Are they?
No, they have moved to Princess Fairytale Hall.
Yes, because in canon, we cannot have them be in both parks or something. I don't know.
Well, I think the thing is, Norway is not built for four-hour lines.
No, it's not. Not at all.
And so I think what they're doing is they've temporarily moved Anna and Elsa to Princess Fairytale Hall to figure out how to fix Norway so that they can be... because That's their place. Norway is going to be where they are. They've said that we're moving Anna and Elsa back to Norway, but we can't right now.
Are you threatening my Maelstrom? Don't threaten my Maelstrom.
Oh, man. My gosh, I hope not. Dude, I love Maelstrom. That is the most adrenaline pumping, heart thumping, frightening backwards water ride available in the world.
And with that, everyone said, I am totally not listening to anything Jeremy ever has to say about anything involving Disney parks ever again.
I will say that, and just to jump farther off topic, Maelstrom was the, I would say the funnest, and I know funnest isn't a word, but it was the funnest disappointment I've ever had. Because Claire and I got on this ride, and the, you know, we've talked about the lift hill and the, you are not the first to travel this path and you will not be the last, you know, all that scary, you know, red eye guy, and then popping into welcome to Norway. And then it's like, it was the most fun I've ever had being disappointed. And I got off that ride and I was super ticked, but like in a really fun, like, ha ha ha, they totally got us way, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. So as we've said, Norway, clearly there's some space there. I think there's plenty of space probably behind it where they can build. Anna and Elsa will eventually end up there.
Yeah.
But for right now, we do have summer fun, and summer fun is essentially just a couple of different things. So it starts off in the morning at 11 a.m. With a Anna and Elsa, what do they call it? I think the Royal Processional.
The Royal Welcome Parade and okay. Sing-along.
Which is a mini parade from everything I've read. Basically, it's what? Anna and Elsa in a sleigh, followed by some skiers, some pickaxe guys, and Kristoff actually making an appearance, which is kind of interesting. Because
his first appearance.
Yeah, because we haven't seen him. And again, they're not doing meet and greets here. And you actually can't do a meet and greet with Kristoff at this point because he's not over at Princess Hall over in Magic Kingdom either.
Yeah, but he's real sarcastic. I don't know why you would want to meet with him.
I think that you guys would get along really, really well. I'm just going to throw that out there for you, Jeremy. Okay, so we've got this parade, and what it goes up to the Sorcerer's Hat, and did they get rid of the merch location there, or are they just using that stage that they have set up in front of the merch location?
I think it's just the Molt Sweat and Shears, you know, stage that they in front.
Okay, and so they have some little welcome Anna and Elsa to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and then what you said, there's a sing along there as well.
Yeah, so the sing along, and it's weird because none of the characters sing live in the sing along. But it's a sing along. There's a screen. And they have kind of I think it's a bouncing Olaf.
Okay. No, that's the actual sing along thing. That's actually in, America's Theater. Isn't it? Or do they do the bouncing Olaf there? Cause they've got the actual sing along, like stage show. So they have another sing along though at the end of the parade.
I think so. From what I've heard and seen,
cool.
It definitely looks like they do a sing. Maybe it's just Let It Go.
So we'll get to sing Let It Go 20 times this day.
Well, that's only like 3 or 4 times more than you sing it normally.
Hey, I do what I do, man. Okay, I do what I do. Okay, so we sing along with Bouncing Olaf to Let It Go, and that's pretty much the parade, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, like I said, so then next we've got the sing-along. Do you know what the full name to that thing is?
To the sing-along?
Yeah, do you have that up? Because it was like a long full name.
I don't.
They have a sing-along thing at America's Theater, which is, I believe, in the back of the park. It's kind of in a really weird spot. I remember I went in there over Christmas because they were actually showing the Christmas movie. They were running it on ABC Family. It had the elves. They were actually showing this movie in there as kind of overflow for guests. And I remember going in there just to get out of it. And it's actually a really nice theater. But now they're doing this sing-along, which is basically sing-along to all the stuff. And what, Anna shows up at the beginning, and then they have the Arendelle historians that kind of recap the story, right?
It is the, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration.
See, I told you, that's kind of a long name. That's why I didn't remember that name.
Yeah. And cool down inside the Premier Theater, where Anna and Elsa join the Royal Historians of Arendelle for a fun and comedic retelling of the unique history of their kingdom, filled with delightful sing-along moments from Frozen.
Okay, so Premier Theater. So now you need to go back and edit everywhere I said America so I don't sound like a total fool.
Premier.
Yes, there you go. So you've got the Arendelle Historians, which are, you know, just some characters that they've made up. So that Anna and Elsa don't have to stand out there the whole time. I mean, really, I feel like that's kind of what this is for. Mm-hmm. And I saw some video clips from it. It actually looks pretty funny. I don't know that the stage show... I feel like I saw video clips from multiple performances with the exact same, like, dead-on delivery every time. Because at first I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. They're kind of taking... the Aladdin stage show approach, mm-hmm. Clearly on a much smaller budget, much smaller level, but still, you know, kind of poking fun at ourselves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the, like I said, they're hitting on the same joke, which Aladdin probably does the same thing if you go watch it on a nightly basis as well. But still, like I said, it looked like it was a lot of fun, and yeah, you're going to get a chance to sing along to, Frozen songs, which, you know, for adults, it can be fun, and for kids, it's definitely going to be fun. Mm-hmm. So
for adults, it's pretty much the same thing you've been doing for the past 6 months since you got
every
Frozen
time you got
home.
In your car, and yes, we know what you do. but now I do remember seeing a couple of reviews where people, you know, said it just. And I've been there, you know, where you're like opening night at a movie. So like, say when Star Wars comes out, and you know, those were kind of sad. But opening night at a movie, when you go in there and everybody's in there, and there are some movies that I don't want to do that with, but there are some movies where it's so fun to just have that crowd response to what's going on, you know, and you can just feel everyone around you is like really excited about this, and everybody gets going, and that gets you into it more too. And I think that's kind of what they're doing here. And from what I've heard, it really works, though. I did see video of Elsa singing Let It Go. And please do not get me wrong. The Elsa does an awesome job of doing a lot of the moves from the movie and everything. But the difference is that in the movie, there's snow coming off of her fingertips and, mm-hmm. you know, there's stuff being created in the middle of her hands. And when you take all of that away, it looks a little off to me.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
But again, I'm not putting that on Elsa. I'm putting that on Disney. Come on, Disney. You guys can do the magic. Elsa needs to have some snow coming out. Okay. That's the long and short of it.
Do a little Fantasmic type of deal where Mickey's got sparks coming out of his fingers.
There you go. I think that would actually help here. So like I said, but so you've got the sing along thing, and that's pretty cool. What else? What's next?
My very favorite thing about Frozen Summer Fun is, and let me make sure I get it right, is Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and Frozen Funland. That is. By far, I think the best thing about Frozen Summer Fun. It is located, it's in Soundstage 1 between Toy Story Midway Mania and the Studio Backlot Tour. And it's basically Oaken's Trading Post from Frozen. They have an indoor ice skating rink. And Disney rents skates and stuff for you to go ice skating.
It's like what? $10 for 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure the skates have RFID in them, so when your 30 minutes is up, the blades fall off.
That's right.
But so they have that, and they have like Frozen themed snacks. This is where the gift shop is, pretty much. They've got some lollipops that look like Olaf. They've got the pop vinyls of Anna and Elsa, you know, stuffed animals, stuff like that. But one of the best things and one of the most subtle gags in this whole place is that there is a door labeled sauna, and it has over where the window would be, it has a thing that's got, you know, Oaken's whole family in it, like from the movie when he goes, "Yoo-hoo, family." But so the door is labeled sauna, but it leads outside.
Oh, which, that's awesome.
Which is my favorite thing, because in Florida, in central Florida in the summer, it's like 100 degrees outside. And so the fact, and humid. And so the fact that the sauna door leads outside, it's the exit. Is just
which means
like,
it's totally telling you the truth. You are about to step back into the sauna, especially if inside here they have a skating rink, right?
Yeah. And so that's one of my, like, one of my favorite little Imagineer gags is that, oh, let's go in the sauna, and then you're just outside, and it's just like a sauna.
I totally miss that. Wow, that is awesome. So I like the fact that they've actually got they actually have performers coming out every hour, I think it is.
Right.
On the ice skating rink, actually doing a little ice skating show for you, if you're actually in Oaken's, when that happens, I guess.
Yeah, it really feels like I guess in the movie, Oaken's Trading Post is really just a throwaway thing. You know, it's where she meets Kristoff.
Right.
But I really I don't know, it just feels like the Imagineers were like, we could do something with that.
Yeah, you know, Oaken could actually have a story, because people actually like Oaken.
Yeah, he's a throwaway character in the movie. He never shows up again. But he has some of the funniest lines, you know? Some of the funniest parts of that movie are him. You know, that's a big summer blowout. That'll be from our winter collection. And he's, oh man, just some of the funniest parts of that movie are Oaken. And so I really love that they've made this like a centerpiece of Frozen Summer Fun.
Yeah. And I think I even saw that they had some snow in there for like the kids to go and play and like build little mini snowmen and things like that. Which I think that's cool too, you know, actually give, though, again, you're at Florida, it's summer. You'd have a hard time getting me out of the snow.
Right.
but still, I like that they did go ahead and put that out there. And I didn't see a $10 fee on the snow. So I guess you can actually go play in the snow and you can even do that for free. So,
yeah. And we can refer to mini snowmen as snow kids.
Snow kids.
Snow kids.
All right. So you can go make snow kids.
Snow kids allowed in Oaken's Trading Post. Just kidding. It's four kids.
Oh, that was bad. That was really, yeah, that's going to be edited out now.
Can I just say how hilarious the, in the parade, the skiers' skis are?
I didn't actually see them. I saw the pickaxe guys, but I didn't see the skiers.
They're like inline rollerblades, but they look like they're about 3 feet long. They got four wheels, and it's like one wheel or wheels on the extreme outside, and then two wheels directly underneath like the arch of the guy's foot. And they just look hilarious.
I wonder how much that's got to take some skill to get used to those things.
They're very long. Like, they're clearly made to look like, you know, I guess a little stubby skis, but they're real long. They look hilarious.
Again, props to Disney performers for being able to pull that off.
Right.
So that's Oaken's Trading Post. And then do we have anything else other than the fireworks?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much Frozen Summer Fun. I mean, they do give you, when you walk in, they give you a big Olaf on a popsicle stick that you can get the performers like Anna and Elsa and Kristoff to sign. It's like a little fun souvenir signature card.
Well, and I think I saw something about like during the fireworks show, which this is, I think this is brilliant by Disney, because it's not just in this show. They're doing it with Wishes now. I think they're going to start expanding this into more shows, but you can actually post to Instagram or Twitter with, I think it's like hashtag Olaf Summer Fun. It's some hashtag, and they pick a couple of pictures from each day to show during the performance that night, during the firework performance. So you've got your little stick Olaf. Yeah. Yeah. So you can actually be on the big screen.
Because I know they project them onto Cinderella's castle.
Yeah, for Wishes.
For Wishes.
For the fireworks show, they're using the stage and screen again. Though I've heard that they have another screen further back, because So pretty much for the fireworks viewing area, you're looking at most of the entrance into Disney's Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like where you're, and that's similar to where you would be standing if you were at Magic Kingdom. But I think it is so freaking awesome. And I know that they were doing this with Star Wars Weekends as well, but so freaking awesome that you're getting a nightly fireworks show now at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I know that you are forever a Fantasmic lover. And I don't dislike
fireworks.
Right. But yeah, but now you can have fireworks and there are both fireworks and Fantasmic going on at the park. I struggle to say that you can do them both because Fantasmic during the summer is shows are at 9 and 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
The fireworks are going to be at 9:45.
So they've strategically placed them when there are no Fantasmic shows because Fantasmic's about 30 minutes.
Yeah, Fantasmic is 30 minutes long. But what this does mean is I feel like you'd struggle. Even though, as we've discussed before, the late Fantasmic show is, it's a lot more lightly attended, I guess, than the 9 o'clock show. When the fireworks start at 9:45, even if you figure a 15-minute show, which is probably, it wouldn't surprise me if the fireworks are a little bit shorter than that. You're still talking about 10 o'clock being done with the fireworks, mm-hmm. then having to go from the entrance all the way over to the Fantasmic area. Which, with the crowds that will be there, that's going to be another 15, 20 minutes right there. So you're going to get to Fantasmic like 10 minutes before showtime. I just don't know. I don't know that you can do both of those in one night.
Right. And yeah, you're right about the crowds. You're going to be pushing through, you know, thousands of people trying to get to Sunset Boulevard? Is that the street over there?
Yeah. Sunset Boulevard is where the entrance to Fantasmic is.
So you're going to be pushing quite a ways over there.
And of course, on the other side of that, if you go to the 9 o'clock Fantasmic show, you get dumped out of Fantasmic at 9:30 and this show starts at 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be, you know, people are going to be getting in line an hour or not in line. Sorry. That's probably not the right thing to say here. They're going to begin, you know, setting up on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Up to an hour ahead of time, trying to get good spots to watch the fireworks from. So, I mean, Hollywood Boulevard, there's not going to, by 9:30, it's not going to move.
Yeah.
So, my guess is that if you're going to do the Fantasmic show at 9, you just better plan to go straight from there over to Rock and Roller or Tower of Terror until the fireworks are over with, because that's all that you're going to be able to do.
Dude, Tower of Terror would be a rad fireworks viewing location.
Wouldn't it be? Even if you only got to see one firework, wouldn't that be so cool?
Dude, you'd be like altitudinally level with the fireworks. That would be sweet.
Yeah. Now we'll find out that they don't run it during fireworks or something. But anyway, so yeah, with the fireworks show, you do kind of have a stage show and fireworks show going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the fireworks are all tied into the music of Frozen. So you will get to hear Let It Go one more time.
Which Disney is perfect at.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing. That's the thing. When Disney does fireworks, it is just so far above anything I've ever seen that's not Disney.
I think my brain exploded when I saw Illuminations. And how synchronized everything was. I can't imagine how great they'll be for Frozen Summer Fun.
Yeah. In fact, I was watching a video of the Frozen Summer Fun fireworks, and the fireworks were not synced up exactly because somebody had laid the audio track on after, and it was about half a second off. And I'm like, that can't be right. Because I mean, Disney, there might be a firework or two that's going to be off, but overarching, that sucker is going to be dead on, you know? So yeah, it looks like an incredible fireworks show. I like the idea of mixing in a little bit of a stage show is, you know, but at the same time, not just being just a stage show. The only thing about the fireworks that I will say is with the way that Hollywood Boulevard is set up with all of the trees and everything,
mm-hmm.
It's not set up for fireworks viewing. And I've seen quite a few people say that it suffers because of that.
Yeah, well, and if you're off center at all, like you're not going to be able to see anything from Sunset Boulevard.
Right. Well, you'd be, you wouldn't be able to see any of the stage show. I mean, the fireworks are going to be, the fireworks are well, well behind. You know, it's right. not like they're, it's not like they're shooting off the Great Movie Ride or something. Some right. of them, some aspects would shoot, but yeah, it's going to be totally ruined. Some of those
facades on Sunset Boulevard are very tall.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you're right. That is true. Yeah, it's, it, you're not going to want, I don't think you're going to want to set up on Sunset Boulevard if you want to watch the fireworks.
Yeah.
If you're just already on Sunset Boulevard because you just got out of Fantasmic, maybe you could try to find a place where you could watch them. But at that point, it's going to be less of the entire experience and more of just there's happened to be some fireworks in the air, I think.
Here's my completely irresponsible, don't follow my advice suggestion. Go get on Tower Terror. Go wait till the door opens. Unbuckle your seatbelt. They're going to stop the ride.
And then Missing you have the Mouse does not stand behind any comments made by Jeremy Pettigrew. If you do happen to do this, please contact Jeremy Pettigrew directly. Went to bail you out of jail.
Did you ever watch Home Improvement?
Yes.
When Al used to hold Tim's address and phone number up.
Yes.
Tim Taylor, care of Tool Time.
And I feel like I need one of those right now, but
don't do that. That would be stupid.
Yes, the top of Tower of Terror would be an incredible viewpoint to have. However, there is no way to have that viewpoint.
Right.
So, yeah, just make do with what you can get. Though I will say that they do have a premium seating option. Actually, they have a premium option for the entire Summer Fun thing. And I think it's $35 for kids, $59 for adults. And basically what you get is you get reserve seating for the parade. Along as well as free, I think it was like Coke drinks, you know, so Coke, Diet Coke, Dasani water, Mickey bars, frozen lemonade, frozen strawberry. Then you can pretty much, from what I've heard, pick which one of the sing-alongs you want to go to, and you get premium seating for those as well. So you can get those nice front row center seats. And then for the fireworks, they do a dessert party for you.
Mm. Does that include I know the Fantasmic package includes dinner at Mama Melrose or the Brown Derby. Does that not include
even
a prefix meal?
No, just the dessert party. So this is more similar to the dessert party, the Wishes dessert party.
Mm.
You know, the one that they do over near the entrance to Tomorrowland, where Tomorrowland Noodle Station is and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more similar to this, though. Again, it includes the parade and the sing-along as well. You know, I've heard mixed reviews about it. To me, $60 to... Now, the sing-along, apparently, it's not hard at all to get tickets. You don't have to wait in line. You know, you do have to... You go get tickets for your show. So when you go to wait in line, you know you're getting into that showing.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't seem as bad. I've heard the fireworks viewing area that they get is actually not that great because they set them up so close to the stage that, again, you run into those weird sightline issues that Disney's Hollywood Studios kind of has.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if your kids really want to do this stuff, they did look like they had some really, really good desserts. They had Anna and Elsa cupcakes and Olaf mushroom pops that were made shaped like little Olafs. They do have adult beverages as well as kids' juice beverages that are custom made for the event. That sounded pretty tasty to me. You know, so I've seen worse ways of dropping $60. And, you know, we're not talking Harambe Nights money here either. So, you know, I think this is something that will work for some people and would not work for others. So my suggestion is read the reviews and decide whether or not that sounds like something that you would really be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've read that they're releasing something like 250 tickets a day for this event. You know, they do have to limit these things because there's only so much room for the dessert party. They can only reserve so many seats for each viewing, all of these different things. But yeah, you know, that might be something you might find yourself interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, free desserts, desserts
and a party.
That's right.
It's
and
not
a party,
free, but it's a party.
Yeah.
With desserts.
Yeah. Well, the desserts aren't the Mickey, you know, the Mickey bars, the Cokes. I think they've got other stuff during. So they've got like the dessert party, and then they've got like more stuff later or something. none of it's free. All of it's included in your $60, but you're not having to pay something on top of your $60. Right. That's what I'm trying to say. So anyway, Frozen Summer Fun.
Yeah, you know what else you don't have to pay for? Following us on Twitter at MTM Podcast and liking us on Facebook at Missing the Mouse, or visiting our website at missingthemouse.co.
Though we may decide we could start charging for that.
Yeah, we could, and
we're awesome.
If we don't get 1,000 followers by tomorrow, it's going to cost money because that's going to get everybody.
Okay, you're in charge of taking the money for that.
Okay. So we will see you guys next week. And have a magical day.